everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. It's true. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. You can find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. Oh, got a new issue up, including my conversation with the wonderful Lori Frankel. She's a Seattle writer, published 3 books. Latest book, This Is How It Always Is. Wonderful book. She's got a very unusual approach to writing, does Lori. She actually keeps a book open in her lap while she writes. Can you imagine that? I couldn't quite, but she does. If you want to check it out, she's got a very unusual approach. Go to authormagazine.org and watch that conversation with Lori. We're also funded by the wonderful Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. Well, they do a great conference every year, the Pacific Northwest Writers Association Writers Conference. It happens in September, second week in September, here in the Seattle area. And it's going to be another good one. Yes, it is. I'll be teaching there and talking about memoir and personal essay and that sort of thing. And there'll be master classes from all kinds of great teachers. You're going to want to check it out. If you haven't signed up, there's still time. You can do it at pnwa.org. All right, we got ourselves a rising star in the world of suspense fiction, in my opinion. Mr. Riley Sager. Riley is a former journalist. He's an editor and graphic designer, but now he's a full-time author. His first thriller, Final Girls, was a national bestseller. It was published in 25 languages, but his next book, The Last Time I Lied, is out now, and I'll bet it's doing great. Let's find out from him. Riley, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Let me ask you something, Riley. Are you a fan of the World Cup?
I am not. I'm not okay. A soccer follower.
All right. Well, I wasn't, but I was following a game right before this. It went to penalty kicks. I wonder who won. Never you mind. Riley, congratulations. Book number 2 it's on the shelves. Yeah. When did it come out? What was the actual pub date for this book?
It came out today, July 3rd.
Oh.
Big day, yeah.
Thrilled. Well, so how are you doing? Your baby's 1 day old. How do you feel?
Relieved. And anxious and yeah. all those things that come along with doing this crazy thing that we do.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, before we get to Final Girls, we're going to back up a little bit. This is book number 2, novel number 2.
Yeah.
You started your career. You were a journalist, editor. And is that like a words editor? In other words, you were like a journalist editor or a book editor? What kind of editing did you do?
Journalist editor. I was a copy editor for many years.
Oh, copy editor. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, you're one of those. Okay. And so how long did you do journalism and copy editing for?
Oh gosh, I was in newspapers for about 20 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So and did you like it? Was it okay?
I did. I mean, it was exciting. Like there were you would do things that you never expected to do. Like it started when I was in college and I got to interview celebrities, and that was just so
Ooh.
Weird to me. And
like, all right, like who?
Now we're not talking like major super celebrities, but like whenever someone would come to speak on campus, they'd be like, "Okay, go interview them." So I got to interview John Waters.
Oh,
and
you did. Wow.
Valerie Harper and one of the Baldwin brothers. I forget which one. It wasn't Alan.
And so that's kind of odd, isn't it? Because you're used to seeing them like on television or probably on television, and then suddenly there they are right in front of you. It's a very different experience, isn't it?
Yeah, but also very humbling. I mean, because they're human. Like
yes.
When you're meeting them face-to-face and sitting with them and, you know, watching Valerie Harper drink her tea, like it makes them more human than these people that you see on the screen and think that they're just immortal because you see them every day on the screen.
Yeah. Wow. So, okay. So you started the journalism thing was right in college. And so from college. And so I assume that transitioned into some kind of a job once you left school.
Yes. I went, straight from college, straight to my first newspaper job. And I was there in newsrooms in New Jersey for, almost 20 years.
Yeah. Well, and the journalists I know, who stuck with it for a little while before moving to fiction, really credit that time for sort of teaching them just really how to just form a sentence, and how to be kind of ruthless in their storytelling. Was that the same for you or something like that anyway?
Oh, no, totally. Like I learned so much from that because you do, like the newspaper world, you write for clarity. There's not room. Occasionally you can get flowery with your with your reportage, but for the most part, just make sure it's clear to the reader. And so you learn so much about sentence structure and clarity and the best way to pass information on to the reader. And you learn about deadlines.
Yeah. And did you meet all your deadlines, Riley?
I did.
Were you a good deadline?
I did.
You were? Oh, okay. And so you did that for a while, and you started getting your chops. Now, a lot of times, it kind of goes just a couple different ways, but people who write novels generally always wanted to write novels, but were like, I don't know if I want to try and, like, do this thing. It's like, how do you make a living, blah, blah, blah. Was that true for you, or were you just like, I'll do any, writing is writing, I don't care?
Oh, no, I totally wanted to write novels.
Okay.
It's truly, say like every newsroom is filled like with 50% budding novelists. Probably that is correct. And I was one of them.
All right. And so your 24-year-old guy or whatever, and you're in the newsroom, are you trying to write your first novel too? Or was it just head down, let me learn how to do this kind of thing?
Oh no, I was writing all along. Like I'd get home from work and then just sort of try to work on the fiction side of things.
Wow, I did the job and writing thing, but I was a waiter because I was like, I don't want a career that actually like uses my attention in a way that's significant. And I would think journalism could be a little draining and maybe leave you without a lot of energy at the end of the day.
It was a little bit, but because the styles are so different, I'd be editing an article about a murder or about or something,
right?
And sometimes, in the case of crime stories, it was inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. So, so your first book was published. When did The Final Girls come out? Was it 2 years ago? Was it?
It was last summer. Final
last
Girls
summer.
Came
okay.
out roughly this time last summer, yes.
Oh, you're a busy man. Okay, good. All right, so spent some time. And so were there – that was your first – The Final Girls was your first published book, but were there a bunch of books that weren't published that you finished and tried to sell? Did you go through that a fair amount?
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up because I have published other books under my real name. Riley Sager is a pseudonym.
Right. Oh, okay.
And so there have been unpublished novels, and then there were published novels under a different name while I was still in newspapers. And then there was Final Girls, which was Riley Sager's debut and just became this enormous thing that I had no idea would become. So.
All right. So I knew this was a pseudonym, but I did not know that you had published other books. Ah, okay.
Yes.
So, and what sort of books were those? Do you want to talk about
it? It was a mystery series, small town mysteries.
Right. But not suspense so much.
Not necessarily. Yeah. Not psychological suspense like I write now.
So, okay. So talk to me about Final Girls. So what made you, what switch? Like, for instance, Jeffrey Deaver. You ever heard of Jeffrey Deaver?
Of course.
So we were talking to him about he had written a whole bunch of cozy mysteries, and they kind of did okay, but he was like, I want to do something different. I want to get something that gets my heart pounding like Eye of the Needle and Day of the Jackal, and said, I want to write a book that takes place in one day. And that's when his career went, and he started writing these, you know, heart-pounding, fast-paced suspense novels. So what switched for you to want to change gears and write Final Girls?
Kind of the same thing. My goal was always to be a full-time writer, that I can make my living writing these books. And
right.
with the series that I had been writing, it just wasn't happening.
Right.
And I knew career-wise, okay, I need a change. And quite honestly, the journalism world being what it is, my newspaper got rid of about half of the newsroom, including
wow.
me. And
wow.
so I suddenly had the time to, okay, I can do this. Hopefully, I can do this. And it was just sort of thinking of this idea that could really stand out. And I had the idea for Final Girls, which is about a group of these three women who survived these massacres that sort of are right out of a horror movie.
Right.
And I got the idea while watching the movie Halloween. And Jamie Lee Curtis's character
yes.
is like the quintessential final girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And watching it, I just was thinking, what if this was a real thing in real life, in that these people went through these horror movie type massacres and
right.
they became sort of media celebrities.
Right.
And what would happen if one of them died under mysterious circumstances and the other two finally meet and things get really scary from there on.
Now, you said that was Halloween, right? That was
yes.
The Jamie Lee Curtis, right? Do you like that kind of movie?
I do.
Oh.
I like the old school horror movies. I mean, I don't like too much violence, but
right.
I do like a good scary movie.
You do? Okay. Boy, I don't. They scare me. I get so weird. So how do you, I mean, I often can appreciate how they're made, but I don't like to be scared. Why do you like to be scared? Tell me.
I don't know. I wish I could. I'm sure I'd be perfect for some kind of like psychological study about that.
Right.
It's just, you get, when you're sitting in a dark theater and the adrenaline is pumping and you can tell that the whole audience is sort of together in this scary thing.
Oh, like, interesting.
When I saw the Silence of the Lambs, and I'm dating myself
God.
Here, I saw opening night.
Wow.
And it was a full theater, and just the scene where she's in the basement.
Yes. Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah, I didn't like
the
to
whole
think
audience,
about it.
Right, and the whole audience, you could feel it. We were all like one in our fear.
Yes.
And it was just
yeah.
such a great movie-going experience.
Wow, that's so interesting. You're the first person I've heard it describe it that way, as a sort of group experience, that you're like all holding hands to sort of get through it. That's very cool. And so that means you must bring that love of scare to your books. You have, right? The lover of being scared now loves to scare people. Is that fair?
That is fair. I definitely try to. It's different when you're writing it, because sometimes you just don't know if it's working or not.
Yeah.
And because
yeah.
as now that I'm the creator, I'm thinking in the back of my head, is this scary or is this just dumb?
Right.
And
how do you answer that? Because on some level, you got to like, no, I think it's scary. You know, like maybe you picture it. What do you do? How do you answer that?
I sort of think of what are my own fears, what
uh-huh.
gets me scared, and
right.
hopefully that applies to other people. Like, I knew
right.
kind of just by nature of the subject matter and the way and the structure I wrote it, that Final Girls was kind of intense.
Yeah.
With Last Time I Lied, I was fairly surprised when I started seeing early reviews saying, oh my gosh, this scared me so much, it's so creepy. When I was writing that one, I'm like, oh, I don't think this is really scary. It's
oh, man, you had me scared from the first page of that book. No, seriously, I was like, oh, God, it's so creepy. Right away. So you did it to me anyway, but I'm an easy one. So you did succeed with, so you weren't sure with Last Time I Lied if it was scary. There was something different about writing that that made you question whether it was creepy or not.
Yeah, because it with Final Girls, it definitely played with horror movie conventions, and I sort of followed some and upended others, and there was very much this built-in, okay, this is a scary book element.
Right, right.
But with Last Time I Lied, just the nature of the story, it's a different story, and I was worried, not necessarily worried, but cognizant that it wasn't going to be the same reading experience.
Right, right.
But it turns out that I guess I made it pretty creepy. So I'm happy about that.
Yes. Well, so let's go back just a little bit. So Final Girls comes out and boom, it's a big bestseller. What was that like for you? Because you're writing and thinking, you've been wanting to write all your life and you wrote these novels and I did okay. And now kapow. How did you feel? What was that like for you?
I describe it as sort of an out-of-body experience in that I knew it was happening. Like, I could see that it was, you know, things were happening. You know, Stephen King was tweeting about it and gave a blurb, and it was in Entertainment Weekly. And
right.
But because, like, my situation, you know, I was still, you know, still living in the same place.
Right.
Still trying to write another novel. It felt like, this is my normal world, and there's this other alternative universe out there where all these things are happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird, isn't
it? And it was very surreal to be, you know, I don't get dressed up during the day because I don't go anywhere when I'm writing.
Right.
So it's just, you know, I'm in my jeans and a stained T-shirt, and there's Whoopi Goldberg on The View talking about my book. And
wow. That must have been weird. That
it's
must
so
have been
weird.
Weird.
So very weird. Wonderful, but just hard to wrap my head around it.
Don't you have the kind of like, this isn't supposed to happen to me. This is just me. Somebody else gets the... Whoopi Goldberg talks about someone else's book. I mean,
definitely that. Yeah, this shouldn't be happening to me. I don't... Right. This doesn't happen in my life. Yeah.
Right. Oh, but it was. And now it's the new normal, kind of. And so, you know what? One of the best descriptions of that, so Jan Martel wrote the book The Life of Pi, which got made into a movie a while back. And it won the Man Booker Prize, and it went, I interviewed him for his next book, but he said it went global. The book just went nuts, right? So it was this huge international phenomenon. And I said, so what was that like? And he's like, you know, I wasn't famous. The book was famous. I was just this guy with this weird name, but nobody knew me, but everybody knew the book. And that's kind of the life of the writer, usually. You can walk down the street safely, for instance, I would imagine.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's a perfectly good description, because when, you know, this Final Girls has been published around the world, and I occasionally will get updates about things. You know, someone will send me a picture of, like, posters in, like, the subway, like, somewhere.
Right.
Or, you know, like, here's a whole stack of your books in Turkey. And
right.
But it's just so far removed from my existence that it's like, yeah, Riley Sager's another person enjoying this whole wonderful trip around the world.
Yeah. Well, do you do events at all? Do you go out and do any readings or anything? Sometimes for suspense they don't do it. Did you do any?
Not really for Final Girls. It wasn't until it took off that I started to get invitations to speak places.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was invited to
these
book festivals. Now for Last Time I Lied, I am doing a mini book tour. I'm doing 3 stops and then following that with a Thriller Fest in New York.
Oh, okay. That'll be fun.
2 weeks, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's coming up. Well, I guess the reason I ask is, you know, how does the writer understand, because it's such a strange relationship to the readers. If you wrote young adult fiction, you'd be hearing from your readers a ton, probably. That's the nature of those readers. But adult suspense writers don't hear from their fans so much. And so it's harder to have that feeling of your work being received and appreciated. So how do you get that experience, aside from the numbers on the New York Times or whatever?
social media really is great for bringing you into contact with readers. And it's funny you mention young adult, because quite to my surprise and my publisher's surprise, Final Girls and Now the Last Time I Lied have quite a young adult following.
Interesting. How'd they find it, I wonder?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It shocked me when, for instance, Lisa Gardner was the first person to blurb it. And when she gave her blurb, she said, "My 13-year-old daughter saw this in the mail, read it in a day, and told me I had to drop everything to read it."
Really? Really?
And that got us thinking, like, so, wow, are there teenage girls, like, really into this? And it turns out that there are, yes.
Wow. See? Now, I bet you hear from them a little bit.
I hear from them all the time on Instagram.
Oh, on Instagram?
Yes.
And what do they tell you? Do they say, "I was so scared, it's so awesome, I love your book"? What do they say?
Oh, just, you know, "Thanks for writing this, such a great book." And they'll take, you know, like, creepy pictures of it.
Right.
Like, I've seen a lot of pictures of Final Girls. Like, here's the copy of Final Girls with, like, a knife with, like, ketchup on it to look like they're blind.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, how fun is that? See, it's nice.
It's a blast.
You're so alone. I mean, I don't know. Do you have a partner? Are you in a relationship or anything? Or are you just...
Yes,
you
married, yes.
Okay. So, you know, that's nice. But, you know, it's such an isolated work we do. It's nice to know that it's out there, like, rippling through the world, besides our Amazon listing, you know? To hear from human beings.
Oh, it totally is. Because it is such a lonely... My days are spent just with my laptop and...
Yeah.
My characters... And some days it's just, you know, it's nice just to get out of the house. Like, I'll go to the grocery store and start chatting up to the cashier.
Yes, it's true. It's true. I have clients and I like it because it gives me people to talk to. I mean, I like interviewing too. It's another opportunity, but it's true. It's you're sort of just, you're sitting there and your characters are pretty good company. That's the weird thing. They can be, can't they, in their own way?
They can be, except if they when they refuse to cooperate.
Oh,
and you can't.
You better listen
like,
to them.
Why
Riley?
Are you saying the things I want you to say?
You got to listen to them if they're telling you. I don't know. Do you outline? Are you an outliner?
Totally an outliner. Oh yes.
Oh, see, that's tough. The characters sometimes don't like your outlines. They don't always like
they
them.
They don't. And I,
what
I
do you
find
do?
Myself. You have to eventually. There comes a point when. If you're struggling with something for so long where you have to just stop and be like, okay, this is not working and I'm not going to make it work.
Good. Good.
The
yeah,
current
yeah.
way that we're trying to do things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a very important lesson every writer has to learn, you know, whether, you know, I know there are plenty of suspense writers and mystery writers who, to my amazement, don't outline a stitch. You know, it's really, they have a body. They don't know who killed it, and they're going to find out kind of thing, you know. And then there are suspense writers like yourself who do outline. But I think either way, there will come a time where something's going to surprise you. And I am committed to the idea that you've got to honor the surprise, you know, no matter how detailed your outline, I think. But
oh, no,
what
totally.
Do you,
like with,
yeah.
With Last Time I Lied, the... There are multiple twists in that book, and the sort of big final twist, which I will not give away in any regard, didn't occur to me until halfway through the writing of it. It was like at midnight, and it just came to me. And I was like, this is what happened.
Right.
And then I couldn't sleep that night because I was just so excited about, like, oh, this is what we're going to do now. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the ones, for me, those are the realizations that I really trust. When it comes to me like that, where I didn't see it coming, to some degree, I feel like that's the stuff I think will do the best, will have the best resonance, that is the sort of truest, the stuff that surprises me. I have to say, I trust my plans less than what inspires and surprises me sometimes, if that makes sense.
No, I'm the same way. I can do a lot of outlining, and I do, and then invariably... something new will just pop up, like this great idea would just tap me on the shoulder and be like, hi,
yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah. Write it, baby. When they come knocking, you got to listen. You got to listen. Well, this is great. It appears to me you have not, well, maybe it helped because you had a first series. So this really wasn't truly your second book, but you know, there is that second book syndrome. It sounds like you have not suffered with that at all. But you haven't let success confuse you. I'm very happy to hear that. And so I assume you're hard at work on book number three, if it's not written already.
I am still in the process of writing it.
Yeah.
And it's always, I keep thinking that, oh, it'll get easier. It doesn't get easier.
Yeah. Now, you'd get bored if it got easier. You want it to stay. You know, every time you sit down, the page is just as blank as the novel before, huh? Here's something I heard from Alice Hoffman, who, lovely writer, has written a lot of books. She's written like 30 books. She told me that when she sits down to write her book, every time she sits down, she thinks, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to write a novel. It's like she feels like she has to relearn it every single time. So if you feel a little bit like that, Riley, you're in good company. You're not the only one.
I feel a lot like that. And yes, thank you, Alice Hoffman, for saying that.
That's how it works, because it's new. Even though you're writing in a genre where obviously there's certain conceits you work with and certain a certain tempo you're looking for, it's a different book. You can't use the same tricks you used last time. You've got different characters, different everything. And so you've got to you have to reinvent the wheel. You got to remember how to make a wheel, if nothing else. It's just different every time.
It really is. And sometimes it's easier. Like, Final Girls flowed out of it just was.
Really?
Flown from my fingers to the keyboard to the page and beautiful.
Wow.
And Last Time I Lied was the complete opposite of that.
Oh, it was. Oh, so you did go through a little bit of,
There was a ton of rewriting. Yes.
Yeah. Was your editor helpful, or was that mostly through you?
It was my editor is brilliant. Maya Ziv at Dutton Books is just the nicest person on earth, and she's so smart. And she pushed me. She'd be like, this is missing something, and I don't know what it is. And I would find that really unhelpful.
No, that's good. It's better than her telling you what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I'd be like, why don't you just tell me? And I don't think she quite knew, but she knew that I'd figure it out eventually.
That's right. It's helpful because you know why? She can't know because the book's not in her, but she can just feel the missing thing. It's true.
Yes.
I had an editor literally write sentences for me, and I was like, dude, these are perfectly good sentences, but they do not sound like me even a little bit. You can't do it. You can tell me what is missing, but don't write them for me. It just doesn't. It's never going to work. You know, no matter how good a writer you are.
And she's. It's really necessary to have someone who will tell you what you need to hear, but not do it for you.
Yeah. No. It's true. It's true. That's your job. Ah. Well, Riley. Congratulations on the publication of. The Last Time I Lied. I bet it does great. If it scares everybody as much as it scared me, I'm sure it will. But I'm not done with you yet. I got one more question for you.
Okay.
And what I'd like you to do is finish this sentence. If writing has taught you anything, it's taught you what?
Patience.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet this last book taught you patience.
It did, and the current one is too, actually.
Oh,
no,
I'm sorry.
Because it's a process every time, and it's a very lengthy process, and I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, patience. Boy, you can never have, parenting taught me that too, and you can never have enough of it. It is impossible, I think, to be too patient. It's just, there's no bottom to that well. Well, Riley, congratulations. I hope this book kills, and good luck with book number three.
Thank you very, very much. It was a great time talking to you.
All right, take it easy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, patience, people. Patience, patience. Listen, I do these shows. Listen, I want to help. I want to help. That's what I do. I like to help people. And I hope these conversations are helpful to you, whether you like to write or don't. And if you find them helpful, the best thing you can do is say so on iTunes. Recommend it on iTunes. Like it on iTunes. That way other people can find it and they can be helped too. I will be back next week with another show. Until then, be patient. Relax. It's okay. Find something you love.